Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 37, we read these words. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, reaching their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." As we look at this and we think about it, what does it take to have a great harvest? I had an uncle, all of my family grew up on the farms down in North Carolina on the coast. It was pretty flat down there, so it wasn't much to worry about as far as it is farming up here, and it's quite different. But I used to think that when I went down there that my uncle only worked a few times during the year, and the rest of the time he had free time. Well, as I got old enough, it was decided that I would go and spend a week with my cousin. And I thought, man, this will be neat, man, staying a week on the farm, having a great time and all of this. I got down there that weekend, Sunday night. My parents said goodbye and came back to Virginia. Monday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, here's a rattle on the door. Get up. Time to get up. It was tobacco season, and it was time to get tobacco in. And my uncle had to use every person that he could find to get his tobacco in. And so therefore, women, children, aunts, uncles, it didn't matter. If you were around, you worked. By 5 o'clock, we were out in the fields. Now, I'm a city boy, and the first thing that you do when you get up is to eat breakfast. I didn't eat breakfast. We went straight to the fields. We worked for about an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. That seemed like a lifetime to me. And we knocked off and went back to the house and ate breakfast. And as soon as we finished eating breakfast, there was no lollygagging. We were right back into the fields. We took breaks. And I remember my uncle bringing drinks and a snack. And you ate it right where you were at. You took 5 minutes and that was it. My aunt and my cousins would go back to the house about 11, and they would prepare a meal. Well, by the time 12 o'clock came around, I was just about too tired to eat. As soon as we finished, we were right back out in the fields. We finished up, and I thought, oh, man, it's done. We'd primed. We'd hauled it back in on trucks. The ladies had looped it and hung it on the sticks. Done. Everything that we had brought in that day then had to be hung in the barn. So then we had to go and stand in that barn after we ate and hang all of that tobacco. That was just one day. That wasn't even a half of a field that we had to do. The next morning, we had to get up and do the same thing. And we had to do that every morning that I was there, every day. That was not the vacation that I was looking for. But as we think about this story, this scripture passage, what does it take to have a good harvest? I think back of those days. You see, I only caught the tail end of that. They also had to take and prepare the soil. They had to disc it. They had to be able to set the plants out. And if a storm came in and blew them over or knocked them down, they had to go back out there and they had to set them up. They had to put fertilizer down on them. They had tons of work to do before they could harvest it. So you see, my uncle just didn't work a little bit. He worked a lot. And then I remember visiting with him, and it was time to get his corn in. He didn't have time to visit with us because he had to get his corn in. I didn't understand that then. But I think God is helping me to understand what it is all about. And today as we look at this, I think this is something that we don't take serious, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There seemed to be a problem in the days of Jesus with workers, and I think that we still see there's a problem today with the same situation. So as we take a look at it, God has commanded us to work his fields. And so as we do, I want us to look quickly at a few things that may help us. First of all, we must envision the harvest. In John chapter 4, verse 35, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. When we look at a plot of land, what do we see? Now, being from the flatlands, it's a whole lot different. When I came up here, I thought, how can you be a farmer in the mountains? Because all I see is a little bit of dirt, a whole lot of rocks, right? Weeds. And who would have ever thunk that weeds would grow on rocks? But they do. And we also see a whole lot of work and a whole lot of things that get in the way, don't we? My next door neighbor has planted grass seed. He's got those people to come out and fertilize it. And when he cuts it, it looks nice. I can go out there and cut my clover and my weeds and anything else that looks nice. But I'm not going to do like he does. He will cut that in the very beginning of spring 3 times a week. And I looked at him and said, well, neighbor, if mine gets done one day a week or once a week, you'll be lucky. Whole lot of work, isn't it? A whole lot of work. But a farmer can take a piece of land and look at it totally different than we can. He can envision a field there. He can envision grain or some crop growing there. And he can envision what it will look like and how the harvest would be. Jesus was standing and looking across the sea, lifted up his eyes and looked on the fields, for they are already ready to harvest. Did the disciples get that point? Did they understand what he was saying that day? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Did they get that? I don't think so. I don't think they really understood it at that point. I think when they really began to understand all of this was the day that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they realized the urgency. In today's society, I think maybe we have gotten too lax, too comfortable, and we don't see the urgency of providing workers. Christ saw the need. He saw the harvest, and we need today to see that same need that he saw. We must prepare the soil for the seed. And just like a farmer clears the land, provides it, puts the grains in it, I couldn't understand, but he did what they called rotation farming. 1 year they would put this crop in here, 1 year this crop in here, the next year this one, and the 4th year they didn't put anything in it. And what it did is to help provide nutrients that needed to be put into the ground. What happened in the early days is they planted the same thing over and over and over again, and it wasn't getting any nutrients. And so we see the need of preparing the soil, preparing, don't we? We need to prepare. We need to take God's words and study it. We need to take God's words this morning and learn it in order to put it to use. We need to be also prepared to meet your God. Amos said it, be prepared to meet your God. Are we prepared today to meet our God? Are there friends and neighbors that are prepared to meet our God today? Mark 1:2 says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. Folks, we don't win anybody to the Lord. We're just being used by God. God's already prepared the heart. God's already done the work, but He took and used us as His instruments. And so therefore, we really don't do anything except turn pages, as Bill Fay says. That's all we do. We take and read the Scriptures and we flip pages. God has already done the work. The Spirit is who does the work. We see that the New Testament story tells us over and over about people. And in the Scriptures, there were 40-some people that suffered from diseases who was healed by Jesus. Of those 40, 34 were either brought by someone that were friends of theirs, or they were sent and said, "Jesus, could you come?" Only 4 out of the 40 came without assistance. Statistics tell us that a vast majority, probably somewhere between 75 and 90% of the Christians, were led to Christ by a friend or a family member. It's not the evangelist. It's not those that are called evangelists that does it, but it is personal evangelism. And that is what it's all about. We are to see. We must sow the seed. Now, I felt really good the other day. I found a bag of seed, grass seed, and I had some bare spots out in my yard, and I needed to move that bag of grass seed, and the only thing I knew to do was to do what? Throw it out there on those bare spots. So I went out there, and my wife says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting rid of some seed. I'm spreading it." And I took it, and I spread it out in my yard. Well, I happened to notice when I cut grass yesterday or Friday, that grass seed came up. We must sow. If we don't sow, we will not see a harvest. We need to spread it. How do we go about doing that? We simply do that by letting others know about Jesus Christ, by telling people about Jesus Christ. Aren't you excited about Jesus? Aren't you excited to know that you're one of His chosen, that you're part of His family? Aren't you excited to know that on the day of judgment, because you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity with Him? Isn't that good news, exciting news? Don't we want to tell it to someone else? Don't we want to plant the seed in other people that they too can have what we have? That's what we're talking about here. We must sow, and you cannot reap the harvest if you don't sow. We need to put it down. Bill Bright says the only failure in witnessing is the failure to witness. And David put it this way in 126 verses 5 and 6. Those who sow with tears will weep with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with them. One of the most exciting things, and you notice I said one, is to see someone come to know Jesus Christ. As a youth minister, I love going to events with the youth. Concerts, we'd get up there and we'd jump up and down and we'd clap and we'd sing and all of those. But then when we moved into a more personal relationship with Christ, what really touched me more than anything else was to see young teenage boys and girls that accepted Jesus Christ gather around somebody that had not, pray with them, and the next thing you know, the whole group was moving down to the front. Tears just running down their faces, just all kinds of emotion. Emotions of joy. When's the last time we felt that? When's the last time we were moved that way? We must wait for the yield to begin to grow. James 5:7, be patient. You notice that word, patient. Then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Many of us like Jack and the Beanstalk seeds, don't we? Throw it out today, and guess what? Tomorrow it's up to heaven. But folks, it doesn't work that way. We can't do that. You may plant a seed today in somebody's life that you may never see develop. But one day it may do it. You may die and go to heaven before it is done. But that is what Paul says. He says some of the plant seeds, some of the water, and some of the bring the harvest in. And so we may not see it, but we must wait for the yield to begin to grow. It is growing, and so when it grows, we see that God will reward us for our patience, but not too soon or too late. And then finally, we must see the urgency to get out into the fields and begin harvesting. Look at the multitudes of people. I've tried to put myself in that position. I have tried, when we go to Walmart, and if you forget something and you go on a Friday night, it's mass confusions. We need traffic cops on every aisle to direct traffic, don't we? There's so many people up and down them, and people bumping into each other and trying to. One man looked, he said, "I don't think I'm going to make it down that aisle." He said, "I'm going to skip it." But I have sat down and I have tried to look at the people in Walmart through the eyes of Jesus. That's a big place, a lot of people. And I can begin now to say, "Lord, is this person a Christian? I wonder if that one knows Jesus Christ. I've looked at some and I can tell that there's something bother them." And you begin to see through the eyes of Jesus what this world is really going through. And this is what he's saying. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we need to pray for more workers now. We need to pray. Somebody said this not long ago. I was riding with a man through the country. Elmer said, "Why are those fields so white?" "Because the wheat," he said, "is fully grown." "Wheat?" I exclaimed. "I always thought wheat was golden." "Yes, it is, except when it's overripe. Then it becomes very light in color." And he says, "Oh, now I know why the Lord told his disciples that the fields were ripe, white. The grain had to be gleaned immediately." Folks, from golden to white, the harvest is truly plentiful. We must not only cast out our nets, but we must pull them back in. You can never make a catch unless you do it. When I was growing up at the James River, down at the mouth of the James River, out by the Chesapeake Bay, you could go out there in your boat, and there'd be poles set up, and there'd be nets out there. No people, just these poles. But you know what? Somebody had to put those nets out there. Somebody had to put those poles in that ground, in that water. And eventually, one day, my dad took me out there fishing early in the morning, and there were those guys that had put the nets out, pulling the fish out of those nets into their boats. It doesn't do us any good to put that net out if we don't bring it back in. And then Stephen offered, closed this: "The church must regain the urgency and compulsion of soul winning, or we fight a losing battle for the minds and hearts of men." So today, I think Jesus is calling us. We sing sometimes, Jesus is tenderly calling. Maybe he needs to do a little shouting to some of us this morning. Maybe he needs to give up to 2x4 and use a 4x4 to get our attention. But he is tenderly calling this morning, saying, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and I need workers." He looked at Isaiah and he said, "Who will go?" And you know what Isaiah's answer was: "Here am I, send me." Are you available this morning? Let us pray. Father, thank you for these words.